Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. We are in Job chapter 34, beginning our study in verse 1 of Job 34, and this is our 17th study in the book of Job. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 34, 1. Then Elihu said, "Hear my words, you wise men, and give ear to me, you who know." In other words, listen carefully and tell me what you think. Verse 3, "For the ear tests words as the palate tastes food." He asked Elihu, that is, asked Job's three so-called friends, to test his words as they would taste food. He is a very confident man in what he's about to say. 4. "Let us choose what is right. Let us determine among ourselves what is good." In other words, it's not important who wins this debate. The important thing is discovering what is true. Verse 5. "For Job has said, I am innocent, and God has taken away my right." Job had said that he was too righteous to deserve what God was giving him. Verse 6, "In spite of my right, I am counted a liar. My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression." Job had said that if he had called himself a terrible sinner, he would be lying. Verse 7, "What man is like Job, who drinks up scoffing like water?" Job had been scornful, not only towards his three friends, but also towards God. Verse 8, "Who goes in company with evildoers and walks with wicked men." In other words, Job may not be as wicked as wicked men, but he sure has been speaking and acting like a wicked man. Verse 9, "For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God." And Job certainly had implied that. "It doesn't pay to be good," is what he implied. "Good people are sometimes just as miserable as bad," Job had said. Verse 10, "Therefore hear me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong. It is impossible for God to do evil. God has no dark side." Verse 11, "For according to the work of a man, he will requite it," or he will requite him, "and according to his ways, he will make it befall him. God is fair, God is just. We pay for what we do, no more." 12, "Of a truth, God will not do wickedly, and the Almighty will not pervert justice. God never undermines justice." 13, "Who gave him charge over the earth, and who laid on him the whole world?" God runs this planet. He's in charge. He made it. He plays by his own rules, but his rules are always fair. 14, "If he should take back his spirit to himself and gather to himself his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. The air we breathe comes from God. If he decided that he wanted his air back, he would be just in taking it back. And we'd all die. We'd all be in big trouble." Verse 16, "If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to what I say." In other words, these things I've said are so obviously true, says Elihu. Verse 17, "Shall one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is righteous and mighty?" That is, how dare you or anyone else condemn the holy and all-powerful God? 18, "Who says to a king, worthless one, and to nobles, wicked man. God is holy. He does what's right. He even exposes corrupt leaders. 19. Who shows no partiality to princes, nor regards the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. God doesn't play favorites with anyone, rich or poor. 20. In a moment they die. At midnight the people are shaken and pass away, and the mighty are taken away by no human hand. When a wicked person dies for apparently no reason at all, it seems anyway, the thought usually is, well, God got rid of that person, and what a blessing to the rest of the world. 21. For his eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. God doesn't miss anything with anyone. 22. There is no gloom or deep darkness where evildoers may hide themselves. There isn't a darkness dark enough for the evil to hide from God. 23. For he has not appointed a time for any man to go before God in judgment. God has all the evidence he needs to convict a sinner. He doesn't have to set a date for a trial. 24. He shatters the mighty without investigation and sets others in their place. The evildoer is judged by God. The Lord doesn't have to investigate because he knows who they are. He knows what they have done. 25. Thus, knowing their works, he overturns them in the night, and they are crushed. No one gets by with their sin. 26. He strikes them for their wickedness in the sight of men. And this is true. Eventually, the punishment of the wicked will be a public punishment. 27. Because they turned aside from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. God isn't interested in what we used to be, but in what we are. It isn't good to have been good in the past and wicked now. Verse 28, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come to him, and he heard the cry of the afflicted. You treat someone bad, and they feel sad, or they cry, God hears their tears of sorrow, and he knows who did it to them. 29. When he is quiet, who can condemn? When he hides his face, who can behold him? Whether it be a nation or a man, God is in charge. He will do what he knows is best, and no one can do anything about it. Verse 30. That a godless man should not reign, that he should not ensnare the people. God allows evil to run its course because he must, but only to a point. He will not allow those who hate him to control things to the point where God's plan for people is ruined. 31. For has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more? People should confess their sin to God. Lord, I have sinned and I want to stop. Please help me. That's what he's looking for. Verse 32, teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. And that is the way people should be. That is what people should say to God. Everyone should pray that God would show them ways to do better and in what areas they need to do better in. 33. Will he then make requital to suit you because you reject it? For you must choose, and not I. Therefore declare what you know. A person may not want to live God's way, and that's their business. but they should not think that God will lower his standards and okay their lifestyle, because that's not going to happen simply because they want it to happen. 34, men of understanding will say to me, and the wise man who hears me will say, in other words, normal people, those who have their heads screwed on straight, they're going to say this to me in verse 35. Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without insight. Normal people were saying Job is full of nonsense. And I suppose he was to a certain point. Verse 36. Would that Job were tired to the end, because he answers like wicked men. They're saying, Job, you've been saying terrible things about God, and you deserve severe punishment. Verse 37, for he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. In other words, people were saying, Job, you have trouble because of your sin. And then you have made matters worse by not submitting to God's discipline. 35, chapter 35, verse 1. And Elihu said, verse 2, do you think this to be just? Do you say, it is my right before God? Job said that he was perfectly innocent before God. And Elihu says, do you think it's smart to say that, Job? Really? Verse 3, that you ask, what advantage have I? How am I better off than if I had sinned? Job had also said, again, it doesn't matter if I sin or I don't sin, if I have sinned or I have not sinned. It just doesn't matter. 4, I will answer you and your friends with you. Elihu is determined to show that neither Job or his three friends know what they're talking about. None of them have gotten to the heart of the issue, according to Elihu. Verse 5, look at the heavens and see, and behold the clouds, which are higher than you. If you have sinned, what do you accomplish against him? And if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? Verse 7, if you are righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? In other words, God is not dependent on you, Job, for his happiness. Verse 8, your wickedness concerns a man like yourself, and your righteousness, a son of man. In other words, you can ruin your family's day with your sin, or you can ruin your life or other people's lives with your sin, but you will not ruin God's day. He's not dependent on any man for his joy. Verse 9, because of the multitude of oppressions, people cry out. They call for help because of the arm of the mighty. When times are hard, people cry out for relief. When times are hard, many people will just beg God for help. But notice verse 10. But none says, where is God, my Maker, who gives songs in the night? Unfortunately, many people do not think about God very much when everything is going very well for them. Verse 11. Who teaches us more than the beast of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the air? God uses his creation to teach man wisdom. The designers of the airplane, of airplanes, they have learned a lot over the years from studying birds. Verse 12. There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. In other words, if people ignore God until they are in big trouble, well, he may ignore them when they cry out for help. 13, surely God does not hear an empty cry, nor does the Almighty regarded. When a person who doesn't care at all about God and doesn't even think about repentance cries out to God when he's in trouble, you know what that is? It is panic. And God doesn't respond. 14. How much less when you say that you do not see him, that the case is before him, and you are waiting for him. Job had said that he was sick and tired of waiting for God to answer him. Well, you know what? God doesn't have to answer a person with an attitude like that. 15. And now, because his anger does not punish, and he does not greatly heed transgression, Job opens his mouth in empty talk. He multiplies words without knowledge. And Elihu is saying, Job, all you do is talk stupid. And anyone who accuses God of not doing his job is talking stupid. They really are. Chapter 36, verse 1. And Elihu continued and said, Bear with me a little, and I will show you. For I have yet something to say on God's behalf. Elihu says, I'm going to defend God some more. Verse 3. I will fetch my knowledge from afar and ascribe righteousness to my Maker. He says, everything I know about what's right, I have learned from God, my Maker. Verse 4. For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Well, now, Elihu, he's talking awful smart. He says, one who is perfect in knowledge is with you, and he's referring to himself. I know what I'm saying is the truth. Verse 5, Behold, God is mighty and does not despise any. He is mighty in strength of understanding. God is powerful, but he doesn't push innocent people around with his great power. Verse 6, He does not keep the wicked alive, but gives the afflicted their right. He punishes the wicked and defends their victims. Verse 7, He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but with kings upon the throne, he sets them forever, and they are exalted. God watches over the righteous, and sooner or later, he promotes them in one way or another. Verse 8, And if they are bound in fetters and caught in the cords of affliction, then he declares to them their work and their transgressions, that they are behaving arrogantly. When things go wrong and trouble comes as a result of doing wrong, God tells us where we messed up. The Lord is very faithful in that way. The Lord instructs. The Lord corrects if we are interested in hearing, and sometimes even if we are not. Verse 10. He opens their ears to instruction and commands that they return from iniquity. God commands repentance. When people are suffering, he will show them where they have gone wrong, if they have gone wrong somewhere. And in the process, they will know that he is demanding repentance. Verse 11, If they hearken and serve him, they complete their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness. Well, now, there are blessings for obedience, but often not without trouble in this life as well. Verse 12, But if they do not hearken, they perish by the sword and die without knowledge. And one thing is for sure, no repentance equals God's wrath sooner or later. Verse 13, The godless in heart cherish anger. They do not cry for help when he binds them. Angry sinners do not repent. You know what they do? They blame others for their trouble. They do not consider their own sinfulness. 14, they die in youth, and their life ends in shame. The wicked waste their life. Really? It would have been better for people like that if they had never been born. Verse 15. He delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens their ear by adversity. On the other hand, people who learn from their sufferings, who allow God to instruct them about the things that they have done wrong, are blessed by God in the long run. 16. He also allured you out of distress into a broad place where there was no cramping, and what was set on your table was full of fatness. And Elihu is saying, Job, God is trying to draw you to himself and out of your troubles. 17. But you are full of the judgment on the wicked. Judgment and justice seize you. Instead, Job, you talk wicked. Instead, Job, you blame God. You won't let him correct you. 18. Beware, lest wrath entice you into scoffing. And let not the greatness of the ransom turn you aside. In other words, you can't buy your way out of trouble when the trouble comes from your own sin. You can't buy your way out of trouble with God. Verse 19. Will your cry avail to keep you from distress? Or all the force of your strength? You cannot manipulate God's justice with anything, including tears. And that's true. Only repentance and confession holds back the wrath of God. 20. Do not long for the night when peoples are cut off in their place. In other words, sleep doesn't give the sinner any relief either. It doesn't get them away from their trouble. And wake up in the morning and things are just as bad. 21. Take heed. Do not turn to iniquity, for this you have chosen rather than affliction. People who suffer for their sin only make matters worse when they respond sinfully to their suffering. 22. Behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? God is a great teacher, and he uses his mighty power to bring things into our life that can teach us. Not always pleasant things, but he knows how to instruct us. 23. Who has prescribed for him his way? Or who can say, thou hast done wrong? No one. No one is smart enough to instruct God. No one should be so arrogant that they would actually try to correct God. We'll stop there for today, and we will begin our study in verse 24 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.